Welcome to this introduction to Indian Ink, written by Tom Stoppard and directed by Jonathan Kent. The audio described performance at Hampstead Theatre is on Saturday the 31st of January. There's a touch tour at 12:45. The introductory notes will start in the auditorium at 2:15 and the performance begins at 2:30 p.m. The performance runs for approximately 2 hours and 45 minutes, including an interval, and the live audio description will be given by Miranda Yates. Information on Hampstead's website tells us, 1930s India. Flora Crewe, a noted Bloomsbury Group poet, undertakes a journey through India for her health. Free-spirited and without social inhibitions, she unsettles most people she meets, but secretly captivates Neeraj Das, a handsome Indian painter. 1980s England. Flora's sister, Mrs. Swan, is visited by an American biographer trying to uncover exactly what took place on the trip. And then Das's son appears in her garden with a painting of Flora by his father, a nude. Please note, this production includes themes of misogyny and racism, a depiction of full frontal nudity and references to death and illness. There's also use of herbal cigarettes. The story unfolds across two distinct time periods. In India, in 1930, we follow the poet Flora Crewe during her stay in the town of Jumapur. In England, in the mid-1980s, after Flora's death, her life and work are revisited by her sister and by others interested in her legacy. The play moves back and forth between these periods throughout, often allowing them to overlap. One scene barely finishing is swiftly shrouded in shadow as light brightens in another. Characters from different times may occasionally share the space without acknowledging one another, while objects such as letters, drawings, and paintings link both timelines. The stage is open to us and wrapped strikingly at the back and side by tall walls drenched in a vivid cobalt blue that rise the full 12-metre height of the stage up to the theatre's lighting grid. Initially, the cobalt blue is accented by blue light from above, but when light dims, the colour fades to a sombre blue-black. Each of the side walls has two concealed doorways, and there are two further doorways, one either side of the back wall. Characters also arrive and leave by the stepped aisles in the stalls auditorium. The blue tones continue in a metre-wide border that surrounds the stage floor, which is about 12 metres wide and 8 metres deep, and framed by a narrow band of pale tiles. The border often glows in a soft blue. The blue box contains the more naturalistic playing area, where the floor is washed in a textured pattern of soft green, resembling short summer grass that's been trodden underfoot. Locations are suggested with minimal scenery and props. There are two main clusters of plants and foliage. On the left, a smaller cluster of shrubs, a young tree, and garden flowers suggests an English garden, with a green painted cast iron garden table and two chairs placed just in front. On the right, the foliage becomes taller, denser, and more lush, suggesting India, though the greenery from the English garden continues towards the centre, so there's no clear dividing line between the two. This blending allows the same space to represent England or India as the story moves between the times and places. Hanging high overhead, adjacent to each other, and spanning the width of the space are two clay-tiled roofs, each with creeping ivy and other greenery. In scenes set in India, these and other elements lower into the space to define specific locations. Flora's bungalow is suggested by the roof canopy on the right, along with a partial wall in pale off-white with a green-painted window and door frame, and the overhanging foliage is dotted with small white flowers. On the veranda is a small wooden table and two chairs where Flora often sits to read or write. Further to the right is a small rattan sofa. Later, the wall and roof lifts away to reveal a bedroom, a single wooden bed side onto us, enclosed by a white mosquito net hanging high above. Other locations appear briefly through similar shifts. A slightly taller off-white wall with French doors and an arch window above lowers in on the left, topped by the roof canopy on the same side. This wall joins that of the bungalow to suggest the clubhouse of the Jumapur Club. Two gymnasium horses fitted out with stirrups and reins are placed in front of the wall, with a couple of polo sticks leaning against a corner. Later, a tall wall about 10 metres in height and a couple of metres wide lowers in at the back, suggesting an entranceway to lush gardens from the sandy stone walls of the Raja's palace. Characters in 1930s India. Flora Crewe is a petite white woman in her mid-30s, with softly waved brown hair worn in a bob. Travelling by train, Flora sits before the wall of a small train carriage. Behind her, light flickers through small opaque windows, suggesting the movement of the train. She arrives in Jhumbapore wearing a cream linen calf-length skirt with a matching jacket over a light brown silk blouse with short sleeves. Her face is shaded from the glare of the sun by the wide floppy brim of an elegant cream hat, and she wears two-tone brown and cream court shoes with low heels. Later she appears in a calf-length cornflower blue dress shaped through the body with a flowing skirt. Other dresses she wears are similar in style, often in delicate floral prints. In the more formal surroundings of the clubhouse, she wears a black silk floor-length evening dress that ties at the back with short flowing sleeves, accessorised with a long string of pearls. Flora moves with an open, buoyant ease, though at times something seems to draw her inward, slowing her and introducing moments of stillness and a sense of added weight. Nirad Das is an Indian painter living in Jhumbapore, aged around 30, tall and slim, with brown skin and short-cut wavy black hair. His large dark eyes are thoughtful with strong brows, and he has a stubbled beard and moustache. He wears traditional Indian clothing, blue cotton trousers and a matching thigh-length tunic with a colourful textured scarf draped across his shoulder and tan leather sandals. Das moves with a quiet assurance, settling easily into stillness when he paints. He's respectful without being deferential, meeting Flora eye to eye with an alert and engaged expression. Kumaraswamy is the president of the local Theosophical Society and Flora's main host in Jhumbapore. He's a brown-skinned man in his 50s with a serious, earnest presence. His thick dark hair is threaded with grey and partly concealed beneath a grey silk turban, and he has a full greying beard and moustache. He dresses smartly in a grey double-breasted suit, worn with a pale striped shirt and mustard yellow tie, finished with polished leather lace-up shoes. Nazrul is Flora's servant at the bungalow where she stays. He moves speedily and occasionally erratically through the action as he goes about his tasks. He wears pale, slightly grubby, lightweight cotton clothing, a short lungi-style wrap around the waist, a simple cotton cloth draped over one shoulder, and a turban made from a similar material, all practical for working in the heat. David Durrance is a British official attached to the residency in Jhumbapore. Polite and affable with a clean-shaven, pale complexion and short reddish-brown hair. We first meet him in jodhpurs and tan leather riding boots, with a pale open-neck shirt worn with the sleeves rolled up. Next, in formal attire at the Jhumbapore Club, in black tuxedo, trousers and waistcoat, with a stiff white shirt fastened by a black silk bow tie. Amongst several other white characters we meet at the Jhumbapore Club are an English couple and another male resident. The men, like Durrance, wear black evening dress. The woman of the couple has glossy brown bobbed curls and wears a layered 1930s-style organza dress with a sheer, boldly patterned floral overlay. We also meet a Raja, resplendent in soft silk brocade, the fabric catching the light with a subtle sheen in warm, muted gold tones. His outfit is cut in a shalwar kameez style, with a long flowing tunic worn over ankle-length trousers and matching pointed slippers. His matching silk turban is decorated with a feather and strung with jewels, and he has a thick, neatly groomed grey-white beard. A vibrant orangey-red sash crosses his body over his robes. And across his chest and neckline, the garment is detailed with strings of large pearls, with several of the strands pinned across onto the sash. His servant wears a bellboy-type suit in a rich rust red with gold trim, with a neat matching cap. Later, the same actor who plays the Raja plays the Raja's middle-aged grandson, a politician, in a well-cut beige suit. In the mid-1980s, we meet Eleanor Swan, Flora's younger sister, now in her mid-70s, living in England. Eleanor is a white woman with abundant honey-blonde curls worn up at the back, framing a sun-kissed complexion with bright, animated eyes. Her dress, which finishes at the calf, is in a delicate paisley print in various shades of blue and lilac, and worn with beige leather flats. Later, she changes to a dress in a similar style but pale cream with a summery floral design, occasionally adding a soft grey cardigan over the top. We also briefly flash back to a younger Eleanor, known fondly as Nell, alongside her husband Eric. Nell wears a blue pattern dress with a neat white collar that she layers with a cropped mid-blue jacket and toning beret. Eric is dressed smartly in a mid-grey three-piece suit with a faint pinstripe. Eldon Pike is an American academic editing Flora Crewe's collected letters. He's tall with a pale, clean-shaven face. His thick fair hair is greying and receding slightly at the temples, forming a widow's peak. He wears a muted grey-green suit, paired with a pale shirt with a faint stripe, and a subdued blue striped tie finished with brown suede loafers. In India, he changes his shirt for a short-sleeved polo shirt in a mint green. His movements are precise and purposeful, with a tendency to focus closely on documents and small details peering through his wire-framed glasses. Dilip accompanies Pike in India in the 1980s as both guide and fellow academic. A brown-skinned man in his late 50s whose dark hair is receding on top and short and neat at the sides. Dilip often has a serious expression and wears a smart grey three-piece suit with a pale shirt and brown tie and tan loafers. Anish Das is the son of Nirad Das, a contemporary artist living in England in the 1980s. Tall and brown-skinned like his father, with an athletic frame, he has short-cut wavy black hair with a light stubbly beard and moustache. He dresses casually in pale jeans with black loafers. Underneath a black leather jacket, he wears a pale shirt and patterned tie that he often toys with subconsciously when speaking or listening to others. Cast and production credits. Flora Crewe is played by Ruby Ashbourne Circus. Nirad Das is played by Gavi Singh Chera. Kumaraswamy is played by Sagar Arya. Nazrul is played by Shushant Shekhar. David Durrance is played by Tom Durrant Pritchard. Mrs. Swan is played by Felicity Kendall. Eldon Pike is played by Donald Sage McKay. Anish Das is played by Aaron Gill. Dilip is played by Neil D'Souza. The Englishman and Woman and Eric and Nell are played by Evan Milton and Bethany Muir. The Resident is played by Mark Carlyle. And the Raja is played by Irvin Iqbal. The designer is Leslie Travers, the lighting designer is Peter Mumford, the sound designer is Christopher Shutt, the composer is Kuljit Bamra, the costume designer is Nikki Shaw, the writer is Tom Stoppard, and the director is Jonathan Kent. This is the end of the introduction to Indian Ink at Hampstead Theatre. If you have any questions or need further assistance, please contact the box office on 020 7722 9301.